music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. This is the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, it's Kelly, and welcome to the show. This week, we bring you our chat with Toronto-based recording artist Francesco Yates, who recently opened for Justin Timberlake on the Canadian dates of his Man of the Woods World Tour. Later on, we speak with Megan Brittany, lead singer of the electro-pop band The Sevilles, talking about their latest album called Something Strange. We've also got some great music for you to check out from Bishop Briggs, The Voyageurs, and Ariana Grande. But first, it's Destiny's Child, fresh off their performance with Beyoncé at Coachella with Lose My Breath on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Hit me!
Alexander Show, bringing you fresh sounds like this.
Miss you every day, and LA makes me cry. An ocean made its way from your coast to my eyes. You've been hired by them on a brighter side. And miss you every day, LA got me so sad. I wanna kiss your face tonight, it drives me mad. I was sad. separating us, it's never ending. Cause dancing in a line, but you're standing, or you're standing. And if I'm dry when you're high, but you're standing where I'm not, or where I'm not. Sun in my eyes when we go dancing in bed at night. I can't resist ya, no, I miss ya. I can't resist ya when I see your dark gaze on the shore. No, I can't work anymore, cause I got a feeling that we're breathing together in the end. I'm hot and I'm cold and I'm dry and I'm bleeding. Holding my thoughts and my cries and I'm needing my eyes. My guy would dance it in light. You're standing, or you're standing. It burns up when you're high. But you're standing where I'm not.
Music from Charlotte Cardin called California on the Kelly Alexander Show. And Charlotte is currently on the road right now with some upcoming dates in Seattle, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. For tickets, you can check out her website, charlottecardin.com. Hey, it's Kelly, and recently I got to catch up with Francesco Yates when he came to Montreal opening for Justin Timberlake on his Man of the Woods World Tour. Francesco has a lot to say about how that opportunity came to him and also what you can expect from his upcoming new album.
The Kelly Alexander Show.
2018 is turning out to be quite the year for Mr. Francesco Yates, and we are so excited to have him back on the Kelly Alexander Show to tell us all about it. Francesco, I'm so happy to see you.
Right on. Thank you very much for having me again.
Of course. And I love that you and I kind of have the same eyes. I think you're a little more blue, but it's like our thing.
Mine's like the weird crystal blue, like, you know, and it's like a see-through blue.
When you look at girls, they must love that. Do they love it?
You'd have to ask them.
I'll find out and get back to you. I wanted to start off, we were talking off air about how I love the commitment to the hair. Because I think the last time I interviewed you was about 3 years ago. You were doing some dates with Jess Glynn. Mm-hmm. And so we talked about the hair and like how much of effort it was at the time. And I love that you still have it 3 years later. It's a bit different, but it's still a commitment. So is it just your thing? Do you have superpower?
Well, the difference is I've tried to put so much effort in it, but now I just completely do not put any effort into it. And somehow it ends up looking even better in some ways than it did before.
It's funny. I was watching an interview with James Bay, and he said that he got known for his silhouette, like because it with the hat. And like you have that too. Not many artists can say that they are known by their silhouette.
Well, I mean,
would you think that? I think that you would be known for your silhouette.
That's crazy. I mean, a lot of the crazy thing about that was random, because someone was like, hey, you know, we should really shoot him in a silhouette scene. Like, you know, I think that'd be nice and classic. And then it ended up being a thing. And I was like, okay, now I guess I got a silhouette, you know? But it's great.
It's awesome. Good. So I have to also ask you about hooking up with JT to open these Canadian shows, which is fantastic. I think there's a lot of people that would love to be in your position. So first of all, tell us how you connected with JT. Was it through Pharrell or somehow how else? And how did it feel like when he's like, yep, dude, you're opening for me?
JT was the one that first tweeted about Call when it came out. So he had already known me from before.
Okay.
And it's funny how the timing of all of it works, because right around the time when I'm just kind of getting back to my releases, he decided to reach out to management and bring me on the, you know, the tour. So
that's fantastic.
It's pretty unreal, man.
Where were you when you got the news? Like, where? Like, who told you? Was it management?
I was sitting at my table.
Okay.
And I got a text, and I'm like, no. Who's doing this? I'm like, you're telling me this for some reason, and then I actually had to take it in.
Wow.
And it was something else. It was something else, man. I'm underreacting.
No, that's okay. Because I think maybe when it's all over, it'll be like, I can't believe that happened these last several months, right?
It always happens with that after shows of that magnitude.
Mm-hmm. And are these the biggest crowds you've ever played for? Because it's like, I guess anywhere between 14 and like 18,000 people you're playing for at the point. Okay.
This is big stuff, man.
Talk to us about looking out on the crowd. Do you see individual faces, or is it just a sea of like business, like crazy fan business?
Sometimes you can see individual faces. It all depends on your point of view and like where the light is shining on you, I find.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the light's shining directly on you, you don't see 3 feet in front of you.
True.
But when you're moving and you're mobile, it's hard for that light to be shining in front of you all the time. So I try to move as best as I can.
Cool.
But it's good.
Now, in getting ready for these shows to open for JT, the four shows, what went through your mind? Like, how did you decide this is what I'm going to do, this is how I'm going to do it?
It just takes a little bit of trial and error.
Okay.
You know, and the very first show, I didn't really know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
But you find your groove after doing it a couple of times and getting used to the stage you're standing on and stuff. All that stuff makes a big difference, you know?
Yeah.
Because you can rehearse something, but nothing is going to be what it is until it is that.
Yeah.
I just totally said that. But, you know, you have to get used to your surroundings and that. And the more I found my footing, the better the shows got, I found.
Now, when you're off stage, when you finish your set, do you sit and watch JT do his thing, like, for the rest of the show? Like, do you actually do that?
It's kind of unbelievable that I get to do that. So, you know, I'm not complaining at all. It's great.
And what has been the biggest lesson or a couple of the biggest lessons you've learned watching him in motion from that close, like being behind the scenes and seeing him do his thing?
Oh, it's confidence, man.
Okay.
Completely having no hesitation or doubt of anything, you know what I mean? And it's almost like this sort of subtle art of, like, it's like it's a power thing, you know what I mean? When you're on stage, you have a certain amount of power that you don't even realize you have.
Mm-hmm.
And all it takes is for you to recognize that, and then you can become an unstoppable performer.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. You know? Now, you must have noticed by now, because I'm certain that after doing your two Toronto shows, and now you've done, as of this recording, the first one here in Montreal, you must be picking up tons of social media fans, because they're learning who you are. You already had Canadian fans, that's for sure, but his audience level is a whole other level.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and that's what I'm really grateful for, to get the opportunity to find a way to show the music to people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he just gifted me a sort of platform where I can do so. So for that, I'm very thankful to Mr. JT for that.
Tell us what it felt like when you walked out on the stage at the Air Canada Centre, because I believe, if I've done my research correctly, that when you were a kid, you said you were going to play there. So now you've played there.
Yeah, that manifestation stuff, it's something else.
Nuts, eh? So what were it's you really able to take else. It in, like, or was it, again, just too overwhelming in the moment?
Well, it's almost a thing, like, it's like, you got to be careful what you dream and continue to dream.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, it's a be careful what you wish for, but in a positive connotation. Like, you will something into existence enough, there's a good possibility it can happen, man.
Amazing.
So that's what I learned from that.
Make sure to check out Francesco, by the way, on his website, francescoyates.com. Now, the new song, first of all, there's a couple of new songs that I love. Come Over, which you released a couple of months ago, is fantastic. And then your latest one, which I'm going to blank now, Do You Think About Me? It's crazy, like, because I understand you played all the instruments on it. How does that even happen? Like, because, like, do you visualize, like, the parts? Like, how does that, and what do you start with, guitar? Because I know you play guitar, obviously, very well, so.
Depends how the songs start. I will say this, though. some more often than not, the songs start with the thing I call the little dinky thing.
Okay.
It's a little dinky thing, and you can usually build your whole entire song around this one thing.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
So, or it could be, it's usually around one thing, one instrument, whether it's a vocal line, a piano, a bass line. Mm-hmm. It's one thing that sparks everything else.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how that started with this particular song, too?
I would say so.
Okay. Now,
that was the baseline, right?
Was the baseline. Now, explain to us your sound, because I think it's evolving, but there's always, like, when I hear any of Francesco Yates' music, there is, like, there's something that's constantly there. I think it's, like, your guitar licks. That's what I think for me.
I think it's a pop-funk fusion thing.
There we are.
To be honest with you.
That's good. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. It's a fusion genre. It's pop-fusion, I would say. Like, a pop-fusion-y genre.
Who influenced you the most growing up, and do you think that that still plays a part in the music you create today?
Well, I just recently found out that when I was a baby, my dad had in his car when I was listening to TLC, Keith Sweat.
Amazing.
D'Angelo.
Good.
And Brand Van 3000.
Amazing.
So, like, you know, I just got all over the place.
That's
so, which
perfect,
is probably
though.
Also why the music sounds like it can draw from all these places.
Yeah.
Because of that as well, I would think.
Who is Francesco Yates listening to these days?
I love what Miguel does.
Yep.
I love Miguel a lot. You know, anything by The Weeknd is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, there's a Anderson .Paak school too, man.
Okay.
You know, these guys are real. They're with it, man. They're creating real tangible art.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it has a vision and it stands for something.
I understand this album that's going to be coming out in a few months took you several years to kind of make happen. Was that a conscious effort to take the time to do it properly?
It was just, you know, someone told me, I don't know, I forget who told me this. It's like, you have the rest of your life to make your first album. But then your second album, you have like 7 months.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you want to make this the best thing you can as your very, very first look in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it took so long, because I wanted to be sure of myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, because in the end of the day, I have to live with it.
Also true. What was a typical day like for Francesco in recording process? Like, was there a time you'd always start? Like, you know, did you have kind of a routine? Because working independently, I would think you'd have to have some kind of commitment, like, to routine.
Not the nighttime, because there's something about the really, really late nighttime, because you know that there's nothing else you could be doing.
Right.
Because
okay.
in the day, for some reason, there's this thing at the back of your mind that's telling you to do stuff, chores, things around that. But at nighttime, there's nothing else you could be doing but music.
Yeah. Okay. And were you in the studio by yourself, laying down all of this stuff?
A lot of it.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Home studio?
Well, home studio, DIY. I have it in a backpack outside.
Oh, yeah. That is it.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love that this is where things are going. You don't have to have like a gajillion pieces of everything to carry around with you anymore.
Well, it's like, you know, it's the way to go, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
It encourages the most freedom that a musician can have is that.
In a world of singles, why is Francesco Yates recording an album? Or putting out an album, I should say, at this point.
To have more singles.
Okay. That's good.
You know what I mean?
That's good. Now, I wanted to ask you as well, do you have specific goals in mind, or like a specific goal that you want done in the next year? Because like, we talked about manifestation, so is there things happening that we should know about?
Next year, probably by around, I mean, next year is going to be still building the stuff. Probably around 24, 25, I'll have figured out, I'll have probably hit the mark that I wanted to hit.
Okay.
Because I was always kind of doing a mature style of music.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always trying to jump the gun ahead of stuff.
Yeah.
So I figure if my timing is right, my little clairvoyant timing is right, probably around 25, I'll have been where I manifested this to be, man.
Perfect.
At least that's what I think.
And how do fans reach you the best? Like, do you like hearing from them on social media? Like, do you get stuck up?
On Instagram and, you know, on Instagram and YouTube of all things. Those are my two favorites.
Okay, so YouTube and Instagram.
They're the most interactive.
Yep. That's now, I have a couple of final questions that I like to call getting to know. So getting to know Francesco. So what was your favorite cartoon growing up?
I had like the box set of the Looney Tunes.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. I just love that, you know?
That's good. Now, I know you play a ton of instruments, but is there an instrument that you wish you could play? Like, I don't know, the glockenspiel or a tuba? I don't
horns.
Know. Horns? Okay.
Like all the horns.
All the horns.
Every horn that can be conceived and created.
Because mm-hmm. your music lends itself to horns quite a bit.
Yes,
right?
Horns or strings.
Okay, yeah.
It's the only thing that I think I wish I could put in my tracks at will that I don't think I can.
Really okay, know. Okay, very good. Now, would you rather travel to space or plunge to the depths of the sea? if you could
travel
join,
to space, man. That should be our most important issue right now. We have to get off the planet.
Yeah, because we're doing enough damage here. So we need to do something. What song in the last 6 months to a year do you wish you had written that like hit number one or did like really well in the top 10?
A finesse song by Bruno Mars is unreal, man.
Crazy,
You know, he brought back New Jack Swing and somehow, you know, that's unbelievable.
Very
so
true.
To me, that's something to me.
If you had your pick of collaborators, who would it be right now? Like, if you could be like, I'm going to studio with this guy or this girl.
Pick of collaborators.
Like, to put out a song.
Dua Lipa is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Dua Lipa is pretty cool.
She's rocking it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's got like almost a husky low voice, which is all, you know, it's a cool juxtaposition, even for like a female singer, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, really cool stuff. If you had to choose another career, what would that be? Would you have one? Like, is there something else that would interest you at all?
Probably become a scientist.
I could see that from you.
Yeah.
I think you have
the brain.
I'm
nuts, man. I'm totally nuts.
That's good.
I'm just spare. I don't know what it is. But, yeah.
Who's the coolest contact in your phone that's not your family or friends?
Shawn Mendes.
That's cool.
Because I'm thinking, like, that's pretty unreal, too.
Yeah. Because you guys are like bros, right? Like, I've seen pictures with you guys together hanging out.
It's pretty funny. It's kind of funny every time we interact. It's always some crazy story that follows. It's weird.
That's awesome. If calories didn't count, what food would you eat? Like,
they don't count. I just...
You just go.
My metabolism is weird, man.
Maybe it'd be good to travel to space then.
Of course.
That's awesome.
I'm already from space. Might as well go back.
Might as well go back. And last question. What album is in your collection right now that might be a surprise to your fans? Like, do you have, I don't know, whale sounds or something?
I listen to this genre called Vaporwave.
I have never heard of that. Vaporwave.
That's the new wave right there. You heard it here first.
What does that kind of sound like?
It sounds like something deliberately slowed down and made screwy and choppy.
Okay, so Vaporwave.
Yes.
You heard it here first. And message to your fans? Anything you'd like to say to them?
Stay strong. Stay healthy. Love you very much. Continue. Support the music. Thank you for bringing everything this far. And hopefully we all see each other continue to do stuff.
Francesco, thank you so much for hanging out again. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Francesco Yates. Check him out on his website, francescoyates.com.
The Kelly Alexander Show.
Coming up, we're going to be chatting with electropop band The Sevilles. But first, let's take a listen to Francesco's new music. It's called Do You Think About Me on The Kelly Alexander Show.
My, oh my, girl, I know what's on your mind. You don't put it on you right like I do. Now come on, baby, don't be shy. I know what you want to try. You know sugar will get fly all on you. You got that feeling.
Think about me.
music on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Right now I'm in a state of mind. I wanna be in lack all the time. Ain't got no tears left to cry. So I'm picking it up, picking it up. I'm loving, I'm living, I'm picking it up. I'm picking it up, picking it up. I'm loving, I'm living, I'm picking it up. I'm picking it up. I'm living, so we turning up. Yeah, we turning it up. Ain't got no tears in my body. I ran out, but boy, I like it. I like it. I like it. Don't matter how, what, when, who tries it. We out here vibing. We vibing. We vibing.
On the Kelly Alexander Show.
Megan Brittany of the Sevilles joins us next. But first, it's Le Voyageur with Lose Control on the Kelly Alexander Show.
Thought that we were together. Thought that we were forever, babe. Just get to the place that I can't keep turning a blinded eye. You've been running behind my back. You've been playing, imagine that. May sound crazy, but I want you back. May sound crazy, but I want you back. May sound crazy, but I want nothing but to hold ya. I wanna taste your breath. I wanna know it like the first time. You're the one I'm thinking of. From the moment that I wake up, even late at night, I wanna love you like the first time. You're the one I'm thinking of. Trust me, babe, I don't give a damn.
I don't give a damn. like to lose control. We can fix whatever's in your soul.
Le Voyageur with Lose Control. And Le Voyageur is actually the brainchild of New York City-based rock musician Alexander Fairchild. Now, the project apparently is a manifestation of Alexander's love affair with Paul McCartney's Wings, Thom Yorke's Eraser, and his long-standing affection for analog electronics. Lose Control is a song that focuses on the healing process after being broken. And if you want to check out more of Le Voyageur's work, the album finally is going to drop on May 11th. Hey, it's Kelly Alexander, and joining us on the program is Megan Brittany, lead singer of the Toronto-based electropop band The Sevilles. The band has recently released their album Something Strange, and Megan is here to let us know all about it. Megan, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So how long has the band actually been together, and was it a tough decision figuring out the band name? Because I always find that's pretty important.
Well, the band, since this April, it's going to be 3 years. The name, it actually came from two different kind of stories. So there's one where Nathan, the drummer, and I were driving through Columbus, and we were in the stage of looking for names, and anything that popped up, we would write it in our notes on our phone. And then as a band, we'd come together and be like, okay, what about this name? And most times it didn't work. So this time we were passing a street, and on our map it said Seville. And I'm like, that's a cool name, but it had an E in it. So we just put it in our notes, didn't think about it. Then Nate went to an opera, The Barber of Seville, with Bugs Bunny. And the name Seville came out again. And so we're like, why don't we just switch the E to an A? And that's basically how it came to be. A lot of people mispronounce it like Savvy. We're like, no, Seville.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I'm sure that would happen probably a lot if you came and hung out in Quebec a lot. So,
yeah, and our guitarist, Sylvain, he's from Quebec. So he even pronounced it, he says it Seville.
Oh, that's super cute. Now, can you tell us how the band actually came together?
Well, myself and Nathan, well, okay, before that, I was in a singing competition at Boston Pizza in Mississauga, and Nate and I, he came to the show and supported me. And then from then, we were like, why don't we find other members and start a band together? He's an amazing drummer, and I'm a singer, so we're like, okay, we need a bassist and a guitarist. So we went on Kijiji, and we found Sylvain, and it worked out that way. He's very friendly and nice, and then we put out another ad for a bass player, and Gabe came out of nowhere, and we just sort of just started that like that, and it's been going good ever since.
Did you figure out pretty quickly that you had something special with the guys, even though, like you said, it was kind of random how you came together?
Well, a little bit, because I married the drummer.
Well, there you go.
Sylvain became very good friends with Nate. They're best friends. They were in the wedding party. And Sylvain is actually going to be moving in with us because Nate and I live in Toronto. We have a house. And we said to Sylvain, we're like, you know what? Let's buckle down and like, why don't you move in? I know you're looking for a place. You're from Quebec. You're renting. Just move in with us and like, let's pump out as much music as we can since we're together. So he agreed. So he's moving in at the end of this month. And Gabe is just cool with anything. Any idea we give him, he plays it. We don't have to tell him, oh, you need to practice. He just comes in and gives us great ideas. And we all just work really good together. Nobody's ever fighting. We're all very happy, and that's it.
Awesome. That's what you want. That's for sure. How would you describe your sound, and do you think it's constantly evolving?
Constantly evolving. It's never one distinct sound. Like, I'll go from making a song that's folk. I don't know how. I'm not really a country girl. I love Johnny Cash, but sometimes it comes out. And then I see myself singing like Blondie, and I'm like, how did that happen? And then Gwen Stefani comes out sometimes. So I'm just a mixture of everything. And there's a song that we have on our record called Sunday Morning. And there was a part where I'm singing and the producer's like, you sound like Elvis in that line. And I'm like, what?
Oh my goodness.
So there's constantly different people that I'm inspired by coming out of me.
Who did you listen to when you were growing up? Like, do you have a favorite artist to this day?
Growing up, it would have to be Celine Dion.
That's fantastic.
My first song I would sing, my earliest age would be probably 6 or 7, right after I saw Titanic. My mom would bring me out to just family gatherings and be like, sing My Heart Will Go On. And so I would always sing it in front of people all the time. And that's when I sort of found out that I could sing. And it would be Celine Dion and then Christina Aguilera once I got a little bit older. And I noticed that my voice wasn't distinct. Like, I was always sounding like someone else and never myself, till the point when we made this band, I was finally able to figure out my own unique sound, which is the hardest thing in life, is to find your own voice. But I did it, which is cool.
That is very cool. And during the making of the album, did you find that you guys were listening to, because I know, you know, I've interviewed like lots of producers before and singers, and sometimes they will, you know, put on records to sort of get them in the mood, or just listen to a bunch of different things to sort of see if something, not to copy them by any stretch, just to sort of get inspired. So were you doing that, or were you guys avoiding all other musical sounds except for what you guys were pumping out?
What I do, I listen to the radio a lot. So I'm always listening to any alternative, rock, pop, indie. And I don't really just sit and indulge in it and try to get something out of it. I listen to it in passing in the car. And then sometimes I get an idea right on the spot and I'll just turn on my voice notes and start singing to a song. And that's how some of the inspiration comes to be. But I don't really find myself putting in like a CD or vinyl and listening. It's mostly just through my headphones or on the radio. And that's how I get inspired.
Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show is Megan Brittany, lead singer of The Sevilles. Make sure to check them out on their website, thesevilles.ca. Why did you call the album Something Strange?
It's actually the single off our album. It's the first single that we released a couple months back, and we actually put out a video to it, Something Strange. And it was just a word in the song that really stuck out to us because we wanted it to be something that's out of the ordinary.
Now, was it challenging to sequence the album, or did you guys have a good sense throughout the recording process how the album song order was going to go?
It is hard because you have to sit down and really list the songs, and kind of my process is to rate each song from 1 to 5. If it's a 5, it's a pop, it's a dance song, it's fun. If it's like a 3, it's very mellow. So we tried to make a good mixture of that ratio and put them in like a list that people will enjoy and they won't turn off. They'll be like, okay, there's something. Oh, this is new. This is cool. And every time it's always changing. We just wanted to keep that excitement going. wrote the album.
Was there always a plan to make an album? Because I know in this day and age, a lot of artists, including big artists, are just pumping out singles. They're not putting the effort into to doing an album. So was this a conscious decision to go for it, or was there never any question you were going to have an album?
Yes, there was question whether to put out just singles. But then we realized we had so many songs. We're like, how are we going to be able to afford to keep pumping out singles and spending money on the marketing and the producing and making sure it's mastered properly? So we're like, you know what, let's just compile them and put them in an LP and put it out, and then we can market it as it goes. So right now it's Something Strange, next it'll be another single, and we'll just keep going on and on. And then once we're to that point where we're out of hit singles, we'll put out another record. And I think that's the way to go, because you just keep picking your favorites from those albums and the fan favorites, of course, and putting those out and making videos to them and making sure there's always something to market.
What was it like when you took a look at the album? Like, in its, I don't know if you had a look at the physical form first or the digital form, but how did that feel for Megan Brittany?
It was a really hard process. It took 6 months because I had an idea in my head, like a distinct idea, and it just wasn't coming out of my mouth. It was, I just couldn't formulate it into words. And then one day, Natasha, our artistic director that was making the album art, she finally understood what I was trying to say. I'm like, I want pink and purple and blue smoke with flowers and triangles, and she just understood finally and put it together for me. And I'm like, yes, this is what I wanted. But it's so hard. It's like making a song. You have the idea in your head, but to compose it and for it to come out the way you wanted it, it's so difficult. But once it comes out, you're like, oh, finally.
Is the writing for the band, is that a collaborative effort, or do you come up with all the lyrics? Like, how does that go?
Yeah, I make all the melodies and the lyrics, and I'll bring it to the band, and they create a song in that way based on what I make. Or we can do it the other way around, where they make the music first, and then I come in with the lyrics. I'm always writing.
Okay. And which do you prefer? Do you prefer sort of being the lead dog in the fact that you come up with the melody first, or do you like sort of being surprised and then working that way?
I actually like both ways, because sometimes the guys, like Nate also plays piano, so he'll make a piano tune and I'll listen to it. I'll be like, wow, that's really good. And I'll want to make a song to what he has made. And we kind of work together in that sense. And once that song is structured, we pull in the bass player and the guitarist, and we formulate a song collectively. And it sounds really good. And that actually just happened a few weeks ago.
Very awesome. Now, social media, how is that playing a part in the advancement of the band? Especially because you guys are, I know, not new, but you're new, I think, for a lot of people that, maybe are not in the Toronto scene. So is that helping you guys quite a bit? And who's in charge of it?
We all work collectively to do it, mostly Nate and myself. Nate works through Facebook and works with our manager, Gypsy Soul, and I do more of the Instagram and trying to book some shows, but sometimes we don't need to do that. People come to us and book our shows, but I'm mostly working the Instagram, and I've noticed since our album has come out, we've acquired a lot more followers and doing a lot of sponsorship, kind of sponsored ads, really helps because it broadens our demographic. And I'm noticing a lot of people from Montreal are really digging our music, which is why we want to come and play there and visit. So yeah, it's working out in our favor.
Speaking of traveling, I wanted to know, now that the album is out, what are tour plans? How's that going to go?
We're actually going to have a Europe tour this September to October. Our plan is to start in Amsterdam, make our way to Germany, Paris, and end up in Italy. So we're still working on it. We booked our flights back from Italy, so now we just need to start from the beginning and work our way down.
That's cool. And do you guys have an idea of traveling across Canada soon and maybe even into the States?
Yeah, of course. We haven't really mapped it out yet. we're focusing on the Europe tour, but we're trying to plan a Canadian tour and hopefully make our way to the States. It is hard acquiring a visa, but we're definitely going to make the trip.
I did want to ask you this. If you could open for any band or artist right now, just to sort of be part of that vibe and see how a bigger tour goes, who would that be and why?
Who would I open for? The Killers. I love The Killers. They're amazing. And I think it would be cool because I'm very inspired by their sound. It's very synth heavy and a lot of rock in it as well. And his voice is very melodic. And I feel like I draw some elements from his voice constantly. And he's obsessed with Elvis, and so am I. So I think that would be a good... I think we would do well opening for them. It would be fun, and it would be a little different because it's a female vocalist opposed to him.
Awesome.
And I think it would be really fun.
Well, we'll put that out into the universe for you, that's for sure. And before I let you go, I did want to know, for people who are just learning about the Sevilles, what makes you stand out from the pack? What do you want people to know about you guys?
We're the guys in colorful suits. I don't think I've ever seen that done before. It was Nate's idea, and we just sort of ran with it. And whenever we perform, everyone's like, wow, like, you're very distinctive. We're like, yeah, we like to stand out. We're kind of bold. And I kind of have to blend in with the guys, and I don't really know how sometimes. So I just wearing black and white, but I need to get my own like green colored suit or something strange.
That would be awesome. Well, continued success. You're welcome back on the show anytime, and thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you.
That's Megan Brittany, lead singer of The Sevilles, and make sure to check out their website, thesevilles.ca, and let's take a listen to the title track off their new album, It's Something Strange, on The Kelly Alexander Show. The Sevilles with Something Strange on The Kelly Alexander Show. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the program this week. We always appreciate it. Of course, a big shout out to our guests, The Sevilles and Francesco Yates, and to our producer, Adam Brisson. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media. You can do so by jumping onto our website, kellyalexandershow.com. And of course, we would love for you to sign up to our newsletter, tinyletter.com/kellyalexandershow. Have an amazing week. And to close out the program, let's hear from English musician Bishop Briggs with River on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Faster than a hairpin trigger. Don't you say, don't you say it. Don't say, don't you say it. One breath, it'll just break it. So shut your mouth and run me like a river. Shut your mouth, baby, stand and deliver. Holy hands, holy, make me a sinner. Like a river, like a river. Tell